Welcome to Maximum Impact, reaching you from the Citadel of Impact, Abuja, New Estate Baptist Church. We enjoin you to open your mind and connect with the Lord as we receive engrafted words. Get ready to be greatly blessed as we join His anointed servant, Pastor Abiodun Aribike.
We thank you. We bless you. You have been good to us. You have helped us. We thank you. Blessed be your name, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Have your seat in God's presence. Thank you. Okay. How will I say this? Okay. I discovered that in my relationship with many people have been looking for an opportunity to do for me whatever I ask for. And then people say, Bro Biodun, or Pastor, depending on who the person is, let me honor you in a way. And I said, no. Can we do this for you? I said, no. Can I do this for you? I said, no. Now, imagine those people. And I come and meet them. And I said, I just want you to buy a handkerchief for me. What you call? If I ask you to buy a handkerchief for me, how many handkerchiefs will you buy for me? Everybody is Ochuko now. How many handkerchiefs will you buy for me? Listen to me. You know, there are a lot of times God has done great and mighty things for us, and we have just said, God, how can I repay you? What can I do for you? God has sent me to you to tell you how you can repay him today. What will you do about it? Luke 14, from verse 16. But he said to them, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servants to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field and I must go and see it. Please have me excuse. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excuse. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Also, please have me excuse. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and he said to the servant, go out quickly to the street and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. They went. And the servant said to him, sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to him, sir, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. Pick a partner. Just pick a partner. Go back to verse 23. If I say pick a partner, not touch, look at a partner or whatever. Anyway, since COVID-19, when I say pick a partner, people hold hands, I feel somehow. Those people, they have affected me. As if you should not hold hands again. So, look at the person. Look at the screen. Look at what the master said. And the master said to the servant, well, you tell the person this, let's go. Want to go? Go to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in that my house Sir, God, you have done everything for me. What do you want me to do for you? Can you tell me the answer? Yeah, the answer is on the screen. Go out. People are at the back. Are you in church? I can preach from the back today. So that we can see eyeball to eyeball. If the Lord said, if you're asking God, what do you want me to do for you? What do you think the answer is in today's service? Yeah, look at the screen. He said, go out to the highway and the edges and compel. Every Christian has a call upon his life. There's a general call and a specific call. This is a general call. The general call upon the life of every believer is that everybody go to the street, go out and compel people to come in to the house of God. See, the objective of God for today's service and from this parable is the fact that he wants his house to be filled. Proverbs 14:28. Can we all reach together? In a multitude of people is the glory of a king. But without people, a prince is ruined. When they say a man is a paramount ruler, is a sovereign ruler of a king. It's not in Nigeria where in three local governments, in one local government, you will see king of autonomous region of Ifa. So by the time you get to do see Elijah there, autonomous, whatever, you move, you get to first gate, another autonomous, that's what we are talking about. A king is known by the vastness of his kingdom. A king is known by the number of people following. You know, if you are going for a chieftaincy title, or you are going to fight somewhere, and while you are going, before you got there, like a million people have gone ahead of you. You are in the middle. After you arrive, a million people come after you. What kind of honor do you think they will give that king? A king without a multitude has no glory. The glory of a king is in the multitude of his people. The glory of Christ, it is in the increasing number of people that worship and serve him. That is why the mandate that will not end in your life until you die or until Jesus comes is that you go and compel people to come. And listen to me. If you are not doing this, you are not living. If you are not doing this, your Christianity is fake. If you are not doing this, you are hypocritical. If you are not doing this, he does not know you. If you are not doing it, he said, not all. Now say unto me, Lord, Lord, we enter the kingdom of God. If you are not doing it, he said, anyone that is ashamed of me on earth, he said, on that day, what will happen? So if you are ashamed to share Christ with people, don't be shocked. Don't be surprised. When you get to the by Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He said, who is that? I don't know you. Why? You refuse to compel people to come in. This is just a reminder to us as a church. You know, if the main purpose for you being saved is to go to heaven, the day you are saved, you will disappear and go. Because you did not disappear, that means being saved is not only for heaven's sake. He left you here so as to do other things while he saved you. Jesus did not die for you alone. He died for everybody. Now that you have known him, he is sending you to other people that he died for. It is not enough to be blessed like you are blessed. God wants you to be a blessing. So we can sing that song forever and bless as we dwell. My friend MJ can jump up. We can scream. We can even say we are not living this altar. Let pastors share the grace and see if they will not leave this altar. If we don't bring people into the kingdom, we have failed God. Please let me ask somebody, are you failing God? If the person frowns, the better. You know, I like when I preach and people frown. It looks as if I'm hitting the world very well. I like when I preach and people smile. Also, whichever one you choose. What are you doing for the Lord? Are you feeding him? Jump to verse 18 of Luke 14. Is it verse 18? Maybe I should just drop this thing and talk to you from my heart. But they all alike began to make excuses. Remember, the Bible called that parable that the king called for a banquet. If you read other translations, you will see supper. You will see dinner. Sir, ma, when do they have dinner? Like what time? Time. 6. That's an English supper. African supper. What time? And that time, Napandeliam. No wonder stomachs are being reshaped. There are many people getting pregnant by night food. Let me check my stomach first. Touch your stomach. Where is it, Joe? Okay. Now, look at the excuses. The first one came and said, the 18. Oh, where is that? The first one said, I have bought a field. I must go out and see. If you buy land in Abuja, when do you survey and check the land? Supper time. Supper time. Does the excuse make sense? When you go out to talk to people about Christ, the excuses they make does not make sense. Don't give up because of excuse of people. Look at the second excuse. Verse 19. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. He said, I have bought tractor for my family. If you buy a new car and tractor and machinery for your business, when do you go to check them? Is it at night that you go to examine them? It does not make sense. Let's look at the last excuse, verse 20. And another said, let's read them here now. Another said, I have married a wife, therefore. Okay, if you have just married, is it not where you will go to eat, dinner, party, that you will go out together for, that you want to go for? No. So you are married now. Bring your wife along to the banquet. The excuses are not tenable. Can I shock you? In this parable, the people that were sent to are the one giving excuse. Nowadays, it is we that are sent that are giving excuse. That is a dilemma of a church. You know, we have 1,001 excuses. Nowadays, it is the church people giving all manner of excuse. Pastor, I would have loved to come, but nowhere to keep my children. Go and tell Jehovah Witness that excuse. Have you seen a Jehovah Witness without his children going out? But you, because of those children, that we fasted and prayed together, that we dedicated to God, that do not belong to you, that belong to God, that you are a caretaker of. You are saying the landlord's children cannot go for the landlord's business because you, as the caretaker, cannot leave them somewhere. When did God tell you to keep your children somewhere during the time of evangelism? When? I remember when we started the church, the first 3 years when we go for evangelism, all our children, back them, carry them, move them. In fact, they will stand on somebody, give. Some will stay, read it. The children will stay and say, read it. Uncle, you must come, oh. You must come, oh. You must come, oh. If you don't come, I will come back here and fight you. They are being trained in the way of the Lord. You are not training your children now. When they get to 18, you are fasting and praying. You go cry. A child, you did not train in the things and the way of the Lord when they are young. Listen to me. What they don't see you do, you can't command them to do. What they don't see you do, they can't command you to do. So our children cannot be excused. Our work cannot be our excuse. The economy cannot be our excuse. Is there anybody here that your boss sends you from the office, go where, somewhere, and say, go and deliver this letter to somebody, that you give an excuse? My people say, the person that sends us message is the one we fear. The person who deliver the message to, we have no fear of him. Why? You know the one that sent you is the most powerful being on earth. Listen to me. When you are, I'm not against you being shy. Being shy is normal. When you are afraid, you belittle the power of your God. I am not jettisoning the fact that some are introverts. Me, I'm extrovert. In those days, I used to be super extrovert. The ministry has converted me to extrovert. I'm already becoming an introvert. But you know what? I have many friends that are introverts. They don't talk like this. But when we are together, those people can talk. They can talk than extrovert. And some of them are laughing here. Chuchupara kata katapuruka. From one story to the other, one story to the other. But when people gather, they will keep quiet. The excuse cannot be because I cannot talk. Are we here? Now, I believe that when Jesus sent them out and the servants went out, they went out and shared the gospel based on their experiences, on their skills, on their temperament. Until I learned this thing I want to show you. You know, many times we come up, Pastor, you are not preaching the gospel. You are not evangelizing. You are not bringing to people to church. You are not doing this. You are not doing that. The question is he everybody that can wake up every Saturday morning and go out and see somebody for the first time and talk to him? Is he everybody that can leave his house and knock on somebody he has never met door and say, I want to talk to you? I'm not sure it's everybody that can do that. I'm sure everybody can do that, but I'm not sure it's easy for everybody to start doing that. Are you still with me? Everybody can talk. But everybody's approach will not be the same. Some of us, if we enter this place, give us 3-5 minutes. If you give me 10 minutes in a new place, I could pick 8-10 people's name immediately. Why I found out, why did? I've changed now. I'm an introvert now. You move around, you get to know people's name quickly. Whereas some people for 10 years, to even say, what is your name? Nawala. Whether you can ask what is your name in 10 years or you can do that in 10 minutes, all of us has been asked to talk. Is that okay? Now, God created us with different temperaments and he knows our approach to issues and how we go about these issues are different. So I believe the servant he sends, all of them have different approaches to doing this. Now, let's look at a story in the Bible. John chapter 1. Let's use John chapter 1 in the first service. Let me use John chapter 4. Let's check from verse 24. John 4, verse 24. And God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus was talking to a woman at the well who has had 5 husbands, and the person he was staying with at that time was not the husband. The Bible did not at any point say he was a prostitute. It is people that interpreted it that if he's a 5 husband, he's a prostitute. People did not imagine that maybe he didn't have a child at the first husband, second. But once it's a woman matter and it's not the first husband, a prostitute. I'll come and teach about this woman in the future. He is a saint in the Orthodox Church. They have a day dedicated to this woman. I will not want to give you his name. Now, so Jesus talking to him was telling her this. God is spirit and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's go on, please. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming. He who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us what? All things. Let's go on. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you are me. Then his disciples came. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? Verse 28. So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people. Oh yeah, let's read. Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be? Listen, number one. The woman was so ashamed of herself that she did not come out when everybody was coming out to fetch water. People fetch water in the morning. She came out in the afternoon to fetch water. That same woman, after meeting Jesus, left Jesus and went to the town. Whether you like me or not, whether I'm ashamed or not, whether you have called me prostitute or not, whether you call me ashamed or not, it does not matter to me. This man I have met, I want you to meet him. He did not quote any scripture. He did not say according to John. It's good to know scripture, wipe ministry to people. But what I'm saying is that what you already have, what you already know, what you already know about Christ is enough for you to bring people to God. John 1:46. John 1:46. Go back. Is it 46? 44. Let's start from 44. Look at Philip. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Continue, sir. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophet wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him. Philip did not say, why are you asking me that question? According to Obadiah, according to Jeremiah, listen to me. The information you have about Christ is enough for the Holy Spirit to bring people to Christ. And the starting point is come and see. Can I say come and see? Say that, let me hear you. That's number one. Number two, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus came to, is it Gadarene, they call that place. And there was somebody we call a madman in Africa who has been bound many times and has broken the chain. So his family has abandoned him, walking throughout the cemetery and all around the place, disturbing everybody. And Jesus came to that area. And when he met Jesus, they were screaming, Jesus, Son of God, have you come to torment us? Your time has not yet come, and so on. And Jesus asked him to be quiet. And then he asked him some question, who are you? And he said, we are a legion, for we are plenty within man. Can you remember this story? I'm just building up. And Jesus cast out those legion. And I think legion is 6,000 or so. I can't remember. He cast out those legion of demons out of the man. And that madman became sane. And he sat down at the feet of Jesus. Let's read from verse 15. Mark 5:15. Mark 5:15. Mark 5:15. And the whole city came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the man who had the legion, sitting there, clothed in his right mind. And they were what? They are afraid. And those who have seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart. What kind of people are these? If somebody solves a problem in a region, do you ask him to leave? Is he not to stay? But they were so afraid that what kind of person is he? Verse 18. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. Can we all read verse 19 together? And he did not permit him, but said to him, let's go to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has. If you can gossip, you can tell people about Christ. And you know what? There are many stories to share. If you don't have anything to say, go back on Facebook. Watch today's testimonies. I was not in the sanctuary where testimonies were shared. But I'm sure from those testimonies, there are many words to share with people about what God can do in the life of a person. Hello? Remember, these two things, none of them don't cram Bible yet. None of them don't open Bible yet. None of them have gone to seminary yet. Verse 20. Let's go. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone, how much has Jesus done for you? You've done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. So let's pause. You can tell it all, you cannot tell it all. He said, go and tell it all. Go and tell it all. So the mandate for us is to go and tell it all. Luke chapter 5. So, one could invite people. Another could share his own testimony. Or the testimony of what God is doing around. Luke 5:27. And after this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table with him. How did they get there? And how did they get there? Levi invited the people he knew. Do you know there are some very powerful people in church? In fact, some of them are even much more powerful. Will I use powerful? Okay, some influential people in church. Some of them much more influential than the pastor. One of them is Levi. Those kind of people who have interpersonal skills. Wherever they are, if you need anything in this world, they will be able to connect with somebody that has it. That was the kind of person that Levi was. And all what he did was, I've met Jesus. I am not eloquent enough to talk about Jesus, but I have interpersonal skills to bring people to Jesus. What will I do? Oh yeah, all of you come. Jesus, I don't gather them. Come talk to them. That was all what he did. I was sharing with them in the first service. There are some people in church, when they give birth and they want to do dedication, twice, three times in the past, when they want to do dedication, we prepare extra as a church. We ask ourselves, guest card, are they enough? Guest pack, are they enough? Because I lie not. The minimum people that will follow them to church is 50. Everywhere will be filled up, upstairs, filled up, because they have come for dedication. But in church, they know they come. Sometimes once in 6 months. But when is dedication? You are like that. You are one of the people that God wants you to use your interpersonal skills, like Matthew, to bring people into his presence. It is not all of us that will carry a microphone and go to some junction and be screaming. Your skills, your temperament, your experience, God wants to use it where you are. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So, some of your Facebook status, you have filled the 5,000. Your phone is all filled. What are you doing with Christ? What are you doing for Christ with those things? It is an expectation of God that you use that. Let's take the last one. Or the fourth one out of six. Acts 9. 36. Acts 9:36. And now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days, she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, please come to us without delay. So Peter rose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows did what they stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. You know what? If you are a good man, you can't die on time. Now people go talk, say, she must not die. If you are a bad person, just go to Nigerian church. They are already asking you to die. If you are a good person, they will say, don't die. This woman has a gift of service. She was serving everywhere, doing good work to people. Everybody has a testimony about her. What's the testimony about you in your area? Are people praying that you should die, or they are praying that you should live? You know, you think that now you only they pray for some things to die, but it will shock you. If you are not the right, if you are not living good. Now, let's come back to this. Listen, what kind of service are you providing in your place of work? You are a tailor. Do you make people cry during Christmas? You are a mechanic. Are people cursing you because of your work? You are an artisan. Are people angry with you? You know, many times I come to church and I say, go outside this church and look at the number of cars there in the three services. I don't know the number. Imagine you are a mechanic in church and you are the only one servicing those cars. What do you think will happen to your life? But it is written somewhere that mechanics must not service for long until they fail. Do you know that people are looking for that one mechanic that will be different from every other mechanic? Sir, there is wealth everywhere for you. Now you know be good person. Sir, that capital you want to raise, there are some people in this church that can give you the capital. I don't know them. But many people have failed them in the past. So they are no longer giving people capital to do business. Even me as pastor, people where I don't lend money for church, where no pay me and stop coming to church because they no fit pay me, they plenty. So I know they lend anybody money again. If you need money now, we will pray for you. We have one special cooperative union in the church. Join the cooperative and join quickly, because the day where you need money, I will direct you to the cooperative. Lending money, I'm not in that business again. I will now look at the one I can afford. If not 1 million, you ask for. I look at it, I can afford 1,000. I say, this is a contribution of 1,000. That thing. After I don't reduce the thing by 1,000. God good. Now let's come back. What I'm saying is this. If you serve well in your place of work, it is an opportunity for you to bring people to Christ. Imagine, I gave my car to you, the engine knock 2 days after you work on it. And grudgingly, after God touched my heart, and it will take God for me to go back. And I went back. And now give me flyer, say, for our church, we they do 120 days mandate. I am inviting you. If not you, will you follow you to that place? Can I close by telling you this? In this church, there is a covenant that is at work. And it works. If you are a good person, it will work for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just be good. Be a Christian indeed. And see God work things out for you. Can you lift your hands to Him? Lift your hands to Him. And say, help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. Say, help me. To use all that I have. And all that I am for you and your kingdom. Lift your hands to Him. Ask for grace. Ask for empowerment. Ask for enablement. Ask the Lord to reveal to you where you need to make amends. Where you need to make amends. Ask the Lord to help you. In the name of Jesus. Can we lift our right hand up to Him? And say, we commit to make your house full. Tell to Him, I commit to make your house full. I commit to bring people to Christ. I commit to bring people to the church. I commit to bring people to the kingdom. In the next 120 days, my record shall not be empty. My record shall not be empty. In the next 120 days, my record shall not be empty. My record shall not be empty. My record shall not be empty. We give you all the glory, we give you all the honor. We thank you. We ask for a fresh release of grace. The grace to compel. The grace to bring. The grace not to disappoint. The grace to fulfill the mandate. We ask that that grace will overshadow everybody in this house. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing the moment with us. We hope you have been blessed, and we look forward to hearing from you. You can reach us via WhatsApp, SMS, or calls on 090-1137-1118. You can visit or worship with us at the Citadel of Impact, New Estate Baptist Church, behind Silver Mall, near Sakale Bus Stop, Buhari Expressway, Duse Alaji, Abuja. Or join us on Facebook and YouTube at NEBC Duse Abuja, on Instagram at TCI_Abuja, or Mixlr audio channel at TCI-Abuja. Our worship time is 7:30 a.m., 9 a.m., and 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, and on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Till we come your way again, stay blessed and stay safe. Grace to you.